War. Sorry. There's a war today in our reading, and I decided to start with war.
What was the game? D7.
A battleship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Miss.
I like that you tried to play it cool, like you didn't know what battleship was called.
I couldn't remember.
You didn't play battleship with Mike this morning before he went to work.
I had two brothers. I played battleship all the time. That was back when you had to be honest, you know?
I don't remember that.
You know, where it didn't make the, it wasn't the, like, the electronic with the batteries and everything, and you had to, like...
Yeah, but I don't remember needing to be honest.
Well,
I remember needing to win. It's war.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
You're right. You're right.
Oh, my goodness. It's foolish.
I'm sure I wasn't. Anyway.
Yeah, I do remember the advent of electronic talking battleship, which was basically just a way for Parker Brothers or whoever makes that game, Hasbro or Mattel. That's all the game companies I can name. But it's just a way for them to say, your kids are dishonest. Here's a new thing.
But wasn't it cool, though, when
patrol
it,
boat.
But and then it, you'd hear it like, and you'd wait to hear if it would do the thing, you know? And if it didn't do anything, it was like...
It suck at being the Navy.
I don't want to play anymore.
All right.
So, speaking of being in the Navy, today's day 97, and we're going to read Judges 20 through 21, Mark 3, 22 through 35.
You may remember yesterday's reading because Josh Pugh read about a woman being cut into pieces.
I'm really sorry that I had to miss that,
is
that day.
Objectively,
the worst.
Top five. Top 10, worst chapter.
What's worse than that?
Well, crucifixion.
Oh, well, obviously. I mean, like, I was thinking Old Testament.
There's some Ezekiel stuff that's pretty rough.
I don't know. That one for me is, that one's tough
it is,
for me.
It is up there
that
in
is
the
a tough
worst.
One for me.
Yeah, it's no good.
I hate that.
Hate it. Hate Stephen getting martyred.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah.
That one, this one, the one yesterday bothers me just so much about, you know, him just giving her up, you know.
Yeah.
Like, here she is. Take her.
Yeah. Mm. The whole thing's ugly.
It's terrible. I can't think of one I don't like.
You know, like some Southern people, I don't know if you know any Southern people, but some Southern people will be like, these people need Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know any Southern people.
But if you did, you'd be like, well, I'm down on the bayou. I say that about them people.
That's probably what they said.
Israel's war with Benjamin. Also, heads up, I may have different headings than you in this Bible. Judges, chapter 20. Then all the Israelites were united as one man. From Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, including those across the Jordan in the land of Gilead, the entire community assembled in the presence of the Lord at Mizpah. The leaders of all the people and all the tribes of Israel, 400,000 warriors armed with swords, took their positions in the assembly of the people of God. Word soon reached the land of Benjamin that the other tribes had gone up to Mizpah. The Israelites then asked how this terrible crime had happened. The Levite, the husband of the woman who had been murdered, said, "My concubine and I came to spend the night in Gibeah, a town that belongs to the people of Benjamin. That night, some of the leading citizens of Gibeah surrounded the house, planning to kill me, and they raped my concubine until she was dead. So I cut her body into 12 pieces and sent the pieces throughout the territory assigned to Israel, for these men have committed a terrible and shameful crime. Now then, all of you, the entire community of Israel, must decide here and now what should be done about this." And all the people rose to their feet in unison and declared, "None of us will return home. No, not even one of us. Instead, this is what we will do to Gibeah. We will draw lots to decide who will attack it. 1/10 of the men from each tribe will be chosen to supply the warriors with food, and the rest of us will take revenge on Gibeah of Benjamin for the shameful thing they've done in Israel." So all the Israelites were completely united, and they gathered together to attack the town. The Israelites sent messengers to the tribe of Benjamin, saying, "What a terrible thing has been done among you. Give up those evil men, those troublemakers from Gibeah, so we can execute them and purge Israel of this evil." But the people of Benjamin would not listen. Instead, they came from their towns and gathered at Gibeah to fight the Israelites. In all, 26,000 of their warriors, armed with swords, arrived in Gibeah to join the 700 elite troops who lived there. Among Benjamin's elite troops, 700 were left-handed, and each of them could sling a rock and hit a target within a hair's breadth without missing. Israel had 400,000 experienced soldiers armed with swords, not counting Benjamin's warriors. Before the battle, the Israelites went to Bethel and asked God, "Which tribe should go first to attack the people of Benjamin?" The Lord answered, "Judah is to go first." So the Israelites left early the next morning and camped near Gibeah. Then they advanced toward Gibeah to attack the men of Benjamin. But Benjamin's warriors, who were defending the town, came out and killed 22,000 Israelites on the battlefield that day. But the Israelites encouraged each other and took their positions again at the same place they had fought the previous day, for they had gone up to Bethel and wept in the presence of the Lord until evening. They had asked the Lord, "Should we fight against our relatives from Benjamin again?" And the Lord had said, "Go out and fight against them." So the next day, they went out again to fight against the men of Benjamin, but the men of Benjamin killed another 18,000 Israelites, all of whom were experienced with the sword. Then all the Israelites went up to Bethel and wept in the presence of the Lord and fasted until evening. They also brought burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. The Israelites went up to seek direction from the Lord. In those days, the Ark of the Covenant of God was in Bethel, and Phinehas, son of Eleazar, and grandson of Aaron, was the priest. The Israelites asked the Lord, "Should we fight against our relatives from Benjamin again, or should we stop?" The Lord said, "Go. Tomorrow I will hand them over to you." So the Israelites set an ambush all around Gibeah. They went out on the third day and took their positions at the same places as before. When the men of Benjamin came out to attack, they were drawn away from the town. And as they had done before, they began to kill the Israelites. About 30 Israelites died in the open fields and along the roads, one leading to Bethel and the other leading back to Gibeah. Then the warriors of Benjamin shouted, "We're defeating them as we did before." But the Israelites had planned in advance to run away so that the men of Benjamin would chase them along the roads and be drawn away from the town. When the main group of Israelite warriors reached Baal Tamar, they turned and took up their positions. Meanwhile, the Israelites hiding in ambush to the west of Gibeah jumped up to fight. There were 10,000 elite Israelite troops who advanced against Gibeah. The fighting was so heavy that Benjamin didn't realize the impending disaster. So the Lord helped Israel defeat Benjamin, and that day the Israelites killed 25,100 of Benjamin's warriors, all of whom were experienced swordsmen. Then the men of Benjamin saw that they were beaten. The Israelites had retreated from Benjamin's warriors in order to give those hiding in ambush more room to maneuver against Gibeah. Then those who were hiding rushed from all sides and killed everyone in the town. They had arranged to send up a large cloud of smoke from the town as a signal. When the Israelites saw the smoke, they turned and attacked Benjamin's warriors. By that time, Benjamin's warriors had killed about 30 Israelites, and they shouted, "We're defeating them as we did in the first battle." But when the warriors of Benjamin looked behind them and saw the smoke rising into the sky from every part of the town, the men of Israel turned and attacked. At this point, the men of Benjamin became terrified because they realized disaster was close at hand. So they turned around and fled before the Israelites toward the wilderness. But they couldn't escape the battle, and the people who came out of the nearby towns were also killed. The Israelites surrounded the men of Benjamin and chased them relentlessly, finally overtaking them east of Gibeah. That day, 18,000 of Benjamin's strongest warriors died in battle. The survivors fled into the wilderness toward the rock of Rimmon, but Israel killed 5,000 of them along the road. They continued to chase until they had killed another 2,000 near Gidom. So that day, the tribe of Benjamin lost 25,000 strong warriors armed with swords, leaving only 600 men who escaped to the rock of Rimmon, where they lived for 4 months. And the Israelites returned and slaughtered every living thing in all the towns, the people, the livestock, and everything they found. They also burned down all the towns they came to.
Judges chapter 21, Israel provides wives for Benjamin. The Israelites had vowed at Mizpah, "We will never give our daughters in marriage to a man from the tribe of Benjamin." Now the people went to Bethel and sat in the presence of God until evening, weeping loudly and bitterly. "O Lord, God of Israel," they cried out, "why has this happened in Israel? Now one of our tribes is missing from Israel." Early the next morning, the people built an altar and presented their burnt offerings and peace offerings on it. Then they said, "Who among the tribes of Israel did not join us at Mizpah when we held our assembly in the presence of the Lord?" At that time, they had taken a solemn oath in the Lord's presence, vowing that anyone who refused to come would be put to death. The Israelites felt sorry for their brother Benjamin and said, "Today, one of the tribes of Israel has been cut off. How can we find wives for the few who remain since we have sworn by the Lord not to give them our daughters in marriage?" So they asked, "Who among the tribes of Israel did not join us at Mizpah when we assembled in the presence of the Lord?" And they discovered that no one from Jabesh-Gilead had attended the assembly. For after they counted all the people, no one from Jabesh-Gilead was present. So the assembly sent 12,000 of their best warriors to Jabesh-Gilead with orders to kill everyone there, including women and children. "This is what you are to do," they said, "completely destroy all the males and every woman who is not a virgin." Among the residents of Jabesh-Gilead, they found 400 young virgins who had never slept with a man, and they brought them to the camp at Shiloh in the land of Canaan. The Israelite assembly sent a peace delegation to the remaining people of Benjamin who were living in at the Rock of Rimmon. Then the men of Benjamin returned to their homes, and the 400 women of Jabesh-Gilead who had been spared were given to them as wives. But there were not enough women for all of them. The people felt sorry for Benjamin because the Lord had made this gap among the tribes of Israel. So the elders of the assembly asked, "How can we find wives for a few who remain, since the women of the tribe of Benjamin are dead? There must be heirs for the survivors, so that an entire tribe of Israel is not wiped out. But we cannot give them our own daughters in marriage, because we have sworn with a solemn oath that anyone who does this will fall under God's curse." Then they thought of an annual festival of the Lord held in Shiloh, south of Lebona, north of Bethel, along the east side of the road that goes from Bethel to Shechem. They told the men of Benjamin who still needed wives, "Go and hide in the vineyards. When you see the young women of Shiloh come out for their dances, rush out from the vineyards, and each of you can take one of them home to the land of Benjamin to be your wife. And when the fathers and brothers come to us and protest, we will tell them, 'Please be sympathetic. Let them have your daughters, for we didn't find wives for all of us when we destroyed Jabesh-Gilead. You are not guilty of breaking the vow, since you did not actually give your daughters to them in marriage.'" So the men of Benjamin did as they were told. Each man caught one of the women as she danced in the celebration and carried her off to be his wife. They returned to their own land, and they rebuilt their towns and lived in them. Then the people of Israel departed by tribes and families, and they returned to their own homes. In those days, Israel had no king, and all the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes.
Wow. Okay, we're going to jump forward here to Mark chapter 3, verses 22 through 35.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes.
But the teachers of religious law who had arrived from Jerusalem said, "He's possessed by Satan, the prince of demons. That's where he gets the power to cast out demons." Jesus called them over,
I love that,
and responded with an illustration. "How can Satan cast out Satan?" he asked. "A kingdom divided by civil war will collapse." Whoa. That is weird, like the two readings.
Oh.
"A kingdom divided by civil war will collapse. Similarly, a family splintered by feuding will fall apart. And if Satan is divided and fights against himself, how can he stand? He would never survive. Let me illustrate this further. Who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger. Someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. I tell you the truth, all sin and blasphemy can be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. This is a sin with eternal consequences." He told them this because they were saying he's possessed by an evil spirit.
The true family of Jesus. Then Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him. They stood outside and sent word for him to come out and talk with them. There was a crowd sitting around Jesus, and someone said, "Your mother and your brothers are outside asking for you." Jesus replied, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Then he looked at those around him and said, "Look, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." And that is
our reading today. It is our reading today.
God.
You know, tomorrow we start Ruth, the book of Ruth. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to wonder if, like, the book of Ruth as a love story is even necessary in the Bible. When you have this, like, beautiful love story at the end of Judges.
I don't know why I've never, like, that's never jumped out at me before.
Well.
I went and caught him a woman.
Yeah. Taking your home to Benjamin. Don't worry. We just had a civil war over some really terrible things that was done to a woman, but it's fine.
Catch that one.
Yeah.
Go catch that one.
I had her first. Yanking on her arms.
I don't know why it jumped out of me today. Oh,
tale okay. As old as time. Beauty and the Kidnapper.
I'm sorry.
Yikes. All right.
Well,
so we read that. Yeah. With two questions. I do like that the Civil War happened and then.
Yeah.
That was pretty neat.
Yeah.
Okay. So we read that. Two questions of mine. How does this help me love God more? How does this help me love others more? So, Allison.
Let me do others.
All right.
Maybe that's an others. It's kind of a both. But I was drawn to the word unity. in how the Israelites handled the situation when they went and said, okay, this is what happened. And they were like, okay, no, you know, and they all came together. But also it talked about them all coming. We're going to do this. We're going to stay here. We're going to do this. But then it said, then they asked, they sought wisdom from God. I mean, they asked, what do we go?
It was funny. They didn't ask if we should attack until afterwards.
Oh yeah. That's,
they were like, who should attack first?
Yeah. That's
because,
true.
Well, no, it's good though, because it meant that they understood God's character enough to know that this is something that needed to be done. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought that was kind of neat. And then later when they kept losing, they're like, should we attack?
And that's, I think that's really interesting. It's a reminder that we are to be unified, and that what happens when Christians come together to accomplish something. And not only when just Christians, it's not enough to come together, because there's a lot of examples of Christians coming together in bad ways, in ways where they are not seeking God's guidance. Right. And then you have these Christians who make us look like these terrible, hateful people.
Yeah. Yeah. Toxic unity.
Yeah. But coming together and being unified and seeking God's guidance and seeking wisdom from God gets things done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes changes. And I thought it was interesting that when it, like you said, when it went into talking about how he'll catch this woman, and I'm reading that and it just sounded like utter chaos, right?
That's what I was thinking too. Like, so chaotic.
It's like, what is happening? This is like
go hide in the bushes at this festival.
Why didn't get a wife? Why is getting him? Please
don't
give
worry.
Us
we have a plan.
Don't
guys.
Worry. And then them going up and being like justifying it by saying they didn't get any. They didn't get any wives. Don't worry.
Just be merciful.
And I love that it was ended with. And they had no king, and they all did what they thought was right.
Yep.
You know, so in that situation, that wasn't a situation of they came together. It, you know, you see the difference. They didn't come together and say, God, what, you know.
What are you talking about? They came together in holy matrimony.
Yeah, just snatching them
beautiful.
Up.
Beautiful. What a beautiful story.
It's beautiful.
Oh, my goodness.
Tales all the time. So I think it's just a reminder that to love others and remember that, Where is a situation where I need to step up and be unified with other Christians? And that may not be an easy thing. That may be speaking up in times when I'm not comfortable or whatever, but the importance of seeking wisdom from God before we do anything.
Hmm. Yeah, I think it's good.
So how does this help us love God more?
Okay, it helps me love God more because it's just a great reminder. Our reading today is a great reminder that even though the world is so incredibly evil, we worship one who is much more powerful than Satan. And I just think that's cool. I like, this just stood out to me for the first time ever, that Jesus recognizes that Satan is a strong man, right? So
mm-hmm.
who's powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his goods,
mm-hmm.
right? And so he's identifying that Satan is the strong man, and the house is his world, and his goods are the people he's turned, or, you know, whatever system. But only someone even stronger could tie him up and then plunder his house. In other words, Jesus comes in, binds Satan, and then starts freeing and taking his plunder, right? Taking the people that Satan had control of away. Mm. So I just love that. What a great picture. That really stood out to me today. And I think it's pretty neat. So,
yeah.
So that helps me love God more. It's just a great reminder, because sometimes it's really easy to look around the world and go, what? Or like, my kids aren't there anymore, but they used to have a theology that Satan and God were like equals.
Mm.
You know, like Satan is like yin and yang, you know? Like, and I think a lot of Christians unknowingly fall into that.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this yin and yang mentality of like, you know, well,
opposing forces, both the same strength.
Yeah, exactly. And we assign things like omniscience to the devil, or omnipresence mm-hmm. to the devil, that he's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
No, he roams.
Mm-hmm.
He roams. So that means he's not present everywhere at all times, right? So I just think, man, what a great reminder. Yeah, Satan's strong. We should never underestimate our adversary. He is a strong man, but a much stronger man has come in,
mm-hmm.
tied him up, and started emptying his house.
Yeah.
And I love it.
That is great.
Pretty cool.
Great news.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Well, guys, guess what?
Hang on. what would it be? In third grade, you had a hangnail that was so bad that you had to go home from school.
No.
Okay. I don't know what.
Could be a challenge.
Oh, yeah. There's a challenge.
There is a 30-day challenge. I appreciate everybody's patience with me. It was supposed to start April 1st.
Ha! Gotcha.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, see, it was just all in April Fool's.
You all fell for it. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You all thought I was going to leave the podcast for money, too.
I don't think anybody thought
Everyone thought it.
Keep track of your days.
Do it.
Don't miss a day.
Do it.
For 30 days.
Do it without missing a day.
Check them off.
Do it.
And then you're going to share them on Facebook on the, I think I said May 7th. And then we'll draw for prizes.
Ooh.
It's going to be exciting.
Ooh, I like that.
I do too. I like challenges.
Can I do it?
No.
Okay.
Because you are reading, so it doesn't count. You don't count.
But you don't know that I read my Bible every day.
I kind of do.
How?
I hope you do.
Yeah. See, you only hope I do.
I trust.
Yeah.
I trust.
I'm like Bible obsessed.
I trust it.
Yeah, it's good. Hey, guys, do that. Do that challenge. That would be so fun.
Yeah.
I want to have a bunch of names in the drawing. Oh, yeah. That way we can have a bunch of prizes. Mm-hmm.
And then the wheel that they have.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
That will be fun.
Yeah. And we finished Judges.
Thank you. Goodbye. Goodbye, Judges. That book is rough.
Oh, it's over.
I was just telling Allison before the podcast, I really love that the Gospels are spread out throughout the year because I was just getting to this fatigue of like, Can we please have Jesus?
Judges is rough. This is a great plan. I love it.
It's working.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, we're proud of you guys. We love you.
That was really nice of you. That was really nice of you. It's the steroids.